Jacksonville.
Touchdown, Jags!
You're listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, sponsored by Brewers Pizza, Orange Park, and Clay County's only brew pub. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
What's up, y'all? It's JK3.
Hey, so we are, I don't know if you can hear the background noise, we're actually live on site today in Mobile, Alabama, here at the Senior Bowl. So we got a couple interviews lined up with some players, some in-depth scouting reports that we've been taking notes here on the sidelines.
Stop lying. We ain't in no Mobile, Alabama. Man, if that's the case, we might as well go see Forrest and Greenbow. Okay, let's be real.
I'm trying to boost our credibility. I don't know why you got to shoot that down. Nobody's going to check it. You know what I mean? So
I would much rather be in Jacksonville, Florida than Mobile, Alabama, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I would much rather be than I think watching the Senior Bowl and, you know, where I work, they've got a bunch of just coverage, a bunch of TVs that are always up. So I come by and I glance it, and it's literally just like a bunch of guys, 7-on-7, people with stopwatches, and 7-on-7 is so unrealistic in NFL football. It's like that guy's got a quick release, but he's like, but he just threw it to the popcorn guy. So he just got the ball out fast. Great. But there's no accuracy to it at all. So yeah, but hey, Senior Bowl. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are in Jacksonville, and I'm in my pajamas at 9:27 at my laptop, but yeah. We could have, I don't know. Do they need credentials to go out there, or do you just show up, or how does that work?
Yeah, you do. You need credentials and, you know, get to press pass and all that. And, you know, for some guys, it's an accomplishment, and, you know, they're trying to, you know, they got to start somewhere. So that's kind of where they start. And, you know, that's to get the first look at the guys, you know, almost post-college, being taught by actual NFL coaches, actually using an NFL ball. So, you know, and there is a difference, people, between an NFL ball and a college ball. So it's a good chance for them. I tell you, the Senior Bowl, it's not really for your casual fan, but for your fan that's interested in those 4th, 5th, and 6th rounders, that's usually where they come from. So
yeah, the college.
I'm surprised you didn't go since it's sponsored by Reese's.
Reese's? Oh man, that's a dumb joke. But anyway.
But an ex-Gator. I don't get it. What does that mean?
It's sponsored by Reese's, and Derek, you know, we had a conversation. I think it was over Halloween, maybe.
Yeah.
About Sour Patch Kids being better than Reese's, and Derek is obviously a psychopath if he thinks that. So,
hell no. Anyway,
Sour Patch Kids are better than Reese's. Yeah. And I figured since it was sponsored by Reese's, man, you'd be down there in your orange and brown. petitioning for some buttercups.
Oh man!
Hey, I'm from a podcast. Does that mean I get some free Reese's? The key with Sour Patch Kids, by the way, I found is that you have to make sure that you only eat a certain amount, because if you eat more than that, it's the same as like eating chili when it's too hot. Like, you burn your tongue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah, you can only eat. You got to eat them in increments.
Yeah. So for anybody that was interested in that, but before we get into the Senior Bowl in depth or whatever we're going to talk about with the Senior Bowl, I am kind of curious what the difference is between New Orleans getting screwed in the playoffs and Jacksonville getting screwed in the playoffs. Where in New Orleans, there's lawsuits. I think the Supreme Court's going to have to decide on the outcome of the game. There's players writing petitions to Roger Goodell. Why wasn't there any outrage like this for the Jags game? Because, I mean, that touchdown would have put us up. What was the score going to be at that point? Like 30-something to 13 or whatever? I mean, that would have been pretty decisive. If anything, ours was worse than theirs. I mean, what's the difference? Is it just the small market thing or what?
we don't have it. I mean, we just became a franchise in 95. So none of our fans yet are lawyers. and they don't know how to write petitions yet. So we print up a bunch of t-shirts and come up with a cool slogan. Miles Jack wasn't down. Get a couple beers named after it. Yeah. Miles Jack wasn't down. I'm pretty sure there's like a donut you can get at mini bar. The Miles Jack wasn't down, you know, donut. But no, nah, I mean, there's no, we just don't have we don't have a lawyer that's probably been a season ticket fan for a long time. But yo, they got to do something about these refs, man. Like they really do. Like I don't know what the solution is. I don't know how to remedy it. But the refs are absolute garbage. And it seems like when they play or when the games are the most important, you should have your best crew of officials. I don't know how you even grade that, but the Brady getting the pass or the roughing the passer was the craziest thing I've ever seen. And then the Saints was just an absolute like armed robbery. Mm-hmm. Like literally that was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, and Saints fans, sorry, you're not going to, you know, nothing's going to happen. I don't even think the league office will respond to them.
No.
So think about this. Let's go back and change all the other games where the losing team got, you know, basically screwed over. The Cowboys in the playoffs against the Packers where Dez Bryant did catch that ball. The Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Are we going to itemize all this?
Yeah. No, for real. Let's think about it. The Patriots in the Super Bowl on fourth down where Eli got spun around like a merry-go-round, threw up this prayer, and David Tyree came down with it. That's just two. Two out of probably 50. Mm-hmm. Get over it. You were up 13-0. And you still lost. Yeah. You didn't lose because of that one play. It might cost you a chance to win, but you didn't lose. You lost because you guys took your foot off the gas pedal and the Rams defense started playing in the second half. That's why you lost. Sorry. End of story. Move on.
And honestly, if there was a way... So with the way that the NFL is now, and it's such a, you know, like a commoditized business, there's no way that they would turn around and they couldn't replay the game if they wanted to. You know, like if Goodell came out and said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and replay the last minute. We're going to play the last 2 minutes. Basically, it becomes a glorified overtime at that point.
Yeah.
Right. And then where are you going to do it? You're going to do it behind closed doors at like a practice facility? like, how's it gonna happen? Do we tailgate for this, or are we selling tickets for it? Is it televised? There's no way it could happen. There's no way that the call should have been made then and there. The refs blew it again. But if you've played any type of sport growing up, always said don't let the refs decide the game. Take the refs out of the game as much as you can. And you know that's just. That's just a life lesson for you, man. But what sucks about the Saints, this is the second year in a row. Like last year with the Minnesota Miracle, how the missed tackle and Stephon Diggs catches that out route and takes it all the way to the house. Mm. And now this?
Yeah.
Bro.
They should do like best 2 out of 3 Madden simulation to settle it.
Even the Madden refs called it a pass interference.
Yeah.
I think that if, like, especially with technology nowadays, I don't even think there should be physical refs on the field to call this stuff. Like, there should be monitors and people behind the scenes who are just watching, like, every position player. You know what I mean? Like,
well, they do have something like that where, the you know, a lot of calls come from New York. I think all scoring plays are now reviewed from New York, and then they get called back down to the field.
Right. But why not have, like, a group of, like, you know, whatever, even, like, 100 people, I mean, the league could afford it, who are all up there watching monitors of each player. And anytime there's a penalty, they could just like push a button or something. I mean,
why didn't the league just go ahead and intervene right then? Mm-hmm. You know, they're watching the game from New York. Why didn't they buzz down from their ivory tower and say, no, that was a pass interference. That was wrong. The refs blew it. That was wrong. I think in a blatant play like that or a blatant that there has to be some sort of. You know, checks and balances to it. You know, you can't review and call in every play like that. But that was an actual game-changing, like life-altering play. which was an obvious pass interference. So
How would that even work, though? Like, what would happen? Like, the lights would shut off, and like Vince McMahon's entrance music would cut on, and Roger Goodell walks out, and wait a second.
Yeah, something, dude. They've got to figure out some sort of way to. I mean, with and the way that technology is now, there's got to be some way to say, hey, that was a terrible call. Terrible call.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, when you have human element involved, it kind of gives sports a better component because, you know, you're going to get those bad calls. You're going to get those good calls. You know, Patriots fan, the Patriots always get the good calls. No, they don't, because Eli would have been down and they would have won that Super Bowl. Yeah, they might videotape and all that other crap and flatten balls, which they do. Yeah,
they might cheat, no big deal.
They might cheat, but, you know, they've also been bitten too. But for one thing, in looking at, you know, seeing all the stories and the replays, there have been a couple of people on Twitter that's had some good comments and points about the reason why they didn't throw the flag. And I kind of agree with a couple of the guys. I won't say their names, but one of them talked about...
Why won't you say their names? They don't get credit?
Well, first of all, I can't remember. And second of all, I just can't remember it.
Okay,
but no, it wasn't like a prominent like media member or even a football player. It was just fans. And one of them, you can actually tell he either played or just knew what he was talking about.
Mm.
The Saints, every time on third down, they always brought either a receiver or a running back out of the backfield. And the Rams were dropping back into like a deep zone. They were just, you know, just praying that, you know, they would, you know, say, okay, beat us another way. They slipped backs and receivers out of the backfield constantly on third down. And so what the Rams were doing, and Dante Fowler Jr. did it twice. He chipped, or instead of like lining up on the line, he kind of was lined up two more body lengths out. So as the running back came around, he would push the running back. So they weren't calling that because, yeah, the running back was going out for a pass, but it was within 5 yards. I guarantee you that's the reason why the ref hesitated, was because, you know, although that was a safety coming over, you know, coming over and creamed the receiver, and it should have been a pass interference call, they just weren't calling it. That must have happened to them 10 times. That wasn't the only time one of the Saints receivers out of the backfield had gotten cream going out on the line of scrimmage. It just happened to be the one time where everybody was paying attention. So they still didn't throw it. And the ref, you know, came in and said, no, don't throw that flag, da-da-da-da-da, you know, for whatever reason.
Oh, he was aggressive with it, too. Like, screaming. Yeah, very no, aggressive. Do not throw that flag. Like, whoa.
So the point is, when it comes to the referees, they get conditioned throughout the game on what they're calling and what they're not calling, and so do the players. So that's kind of why they didn't throw it. Yeah, the Rams DB, he knew he was beat. That's why he did it. He did it to save a touchdown so they could try and stop him again. He led with his head. He pushed him. So. But hey, it just didn't get called, and that's just what you gotta live with. And then for the Patriots and the Chiefs fans out there, that's just, you know, it's unfortunate they lost. The overtime rules stink. Apparently, there was a laser pointer in Tom Brady during Tom Brady's face during a couple of his interceptions.
Didn't even matter.
Didn't even matter. And you know what? There's video evidence of that laser pointer too on one of those picks.
Yeah.
So you can't say that not everybody's getting, you know, has, you know, some variables that's coming across. It's like, you know, oh, we got to overcome this now to win the game. It just happens. It's the element of sports. It's what makes it what it is.
I mean, we're talking about the refs screwing up a pretty bad call versus Brady getting a red laser, a red dot pointed in his eye.
It was technically green. It was technically green.
Oh, so it was an ultraviolet. It was an ultraviolet laser.
Yeah, it was green.
Those blind like pilots in airplanes. So I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. But my point is, the Jags got screwed over last year. there's been other teams that have gotten screwed over. The Saints are just the latest victim, and there'll probably be somebody else next year. So that's just it. They just live with it, man. It's sports. Get over it. Baseball, they do this 162 games a year. Balls and strikes.
Yeah, but so, baseball is baseball is the worst example to compare that to, because they definitely need to include technology and how that stuff's done. I mean, it's crazy.
I'm not going to a baseball game until they pull up a net like down first and third. Like, literally.
Why? Can't catch?
Are you kidding me? With a beer in my hand and a hot dog? Absolutely not. No, there's no way. No, I'm not going into any jumbo shrimp games this year unless I'm in the outfield or I'm behind home plate. Like low home plate where we sit. But that's another subject. But still, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, I don't know. I just thought the outrage was just funny, because again, like you said, Jacksonville like became capitalistic about it and became more of like a selling merchandising thing, and I don't know, the Saints fans are reacting differently, but whatever. All right, so one thing that came out today that we'll just kind of touch on briefly is Austin Seferian Jenkins. He tweeted about, I guess, I don't know if he said he was leaving, but he basically just said thanks for, you know, what the team's done for me, or thanks for the fans, or whatever it was, but it basically implied that he wasn't going to be with the team any longer. Has the Jags organization said anything officially about that, or is that just the only thing we have?
I think it's official. I think he's cut.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it came through as official that he wasn't going to be with the team any longer.
Well, I missed that one.
Oh, well. I mean, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, you know? I mean, what? So is that? I mean, first of all, super crazy that he's gone already. I mean, what do you guys attribute that to? Did he just not pan out to be what they thought he'd be, or is it fine? Should we worry about that? Should we care? Does it matter? I guess.
I mean, he wasn't here long enough to even make a difference. To be real with you, I mean,
right.
You know, we had Koyak, and it was pretty much, you know, tied in by committee. But I think this is just, you know, with him getting cut, I know now that they are going to go either offensive line or skill position in the first round of the draft. Like, they're not going quarterback. They can't. So or this is another option for us to pick up maybe another tight end out there, like Jesse James for the Steelers. You know, something like that. But him leaving, it's just eerie. Number one, strange because of the lack of, you know, contribution that he was able to put in. He was on IR most of the time. Another guy that showed up in training camp, you know, that we thought this was going to be great. You know, everyone was saying Mercedes, who, like, well, we've got this guy right now. You know, Seferian Jenkins is coming through and, you know, looked great in a lot of the 7-on-7s, looked great in a lot of the training camp stuff, looked great in OTAs also, but miraculously got a core injury. "Quote unquote core injury." I need to figure out more about this core injury, because it's sidelining dudes for like weeks. Weeks upon weeks. Dee Dee had a core injury. Seferian Jenkins has a core injury. I need to figure out like what exactly, you know. I mean, your core is like your midsection, right? So is it like a hernia? Is it like you got a cramp? Like, what is it?
A tear or something like that. It'd be a number of things. I mean, you know, to those guys, for most of them, if they're in shape, that's all muscle. And if, you know, if you pull anything like that, separate, you know, I've heard of stories of separating, you know, muscle from rib cage. You know, that's part of, you know, leading up to like even the sternum. Mm-hmm. I mean, one time, freaking Steve McNair had a bone graft to his sternum. He got hit in the chest and stomach so bad.
Really?
Yeah. So they get punished, dude. They when they get hit big time. So, it could be any one of those things. And if you got a core injury, you can't breathe. If you can't breathe, you can't run. So, so good night.
Sorry, is that all on him, I guess? I'll cut that out. Hold on. What time is this? Let me write that. 24.
Good night. 24. And everybody's like, all right.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
Well, okay. I was going to say that I did look it up too, and it seems like the Jags haven't officially cut him yet, mm-hmm. but he said he's cut. So, if he's tweeting that, then he must be gone. You know, you don't tweet. I've never heard of a player telling people, yeah, I'm going to get cut tomorrow. And then, oh, we decided to keep you after all.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. I mean, obviously it's not a huge loss. All right. So what about quarterbacks? I know that you guys and well, not just you guys, but the entire Jacksonville Jaguars fan base has been super eager to chat quarterback. And the assumption being that we will take one first round, maybe eventually in one of the first or, you know, first, second, third, or fourth. Just at some point, I'm sure we'll have a new quarterback on the team, obviously. There's what, JK3, you kind of put a list together beforehand. It's like seven or eight guys, I guess, that are kind of the primary targets or the maybe the guys that are talked about the most at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and that list, man, it's just, you know, some of the not to keep, you know, beating the drum, but just to, you know, some of the stuff that you guys will, you know, hear in a lot of the radio and a lot of stuff that you listen to, a lot of mock drafts as you look at. Dwayne Haskins, Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, Will Greer, Drew Lock, Ryan Finley, and Jarrett Stidham. You know, there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of talent there. I forgot the kid from North Dakota State. I can't think of his name either. But the guy from North Dakota State, it's apparently is supposed to be under the radar. But out of those guys that we've got, and I'm not a draft expert. I'm not one of those guys that watches. I watch maybe the first, second, third round of the draft. And other than that, you know, that's it as far as I'm going. But I think the second round, man. You know, given that Haskins and Kyler Murray are probably going to be gone in the first round, second round, man, you got to take, you know, any of those guys, Daniel Jones, Will Greer, Drew Lock. You know, those are guys that have some big name talent, you know, Duke, West Virginia and Missouri, even Jarrett Stidham, you know, he looked like he's been doing pretty good. But I mean, most of the stuff that people are talking about with the Senior Bowl also are the Jags going to take a first round quarterback? And we cannot do that. Like, I really don't think we should be able to do that because, I mean, you look at our first round draft picks at the quarterback position, they haven't been pretty good. And honestly, I think that this is a time where we can take best available player for some of the situations that we have on the team and just go from there, man. But I just hope they don't. I'm probably in the minority and hoping they don't pick a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, it's looking very, very, very grim that we will take one just for the fact that the first two guys, especially the one everybody wants, Haskins, and then with Murray deciding to throw his name into the ring, although he might, you know, be short in stature, it's not about that. It's not about any of those things. It's about, you know, whether they can play the position or not. And they may be gone. So do you risk passing up other multiple, you know, or multiple players that could help your football team win games and drafting a guy that still might be there in the second or third round? Multiple guys that might be there in the second or third round. That's you know, they're trying to build a team, and we got a lot of holes on offense. Offensive line, running back, wide receiver. We got a lot of holes. So what do you do?
I mean, you got to go skill player, man. There's no way they can do it. I mean, there's a way they can do it, right? But realistically, is it probably the smartest thing, or is it just going to be a trigger move that Caldwell does to kind of save his career? I mean, you see what he did the last quarterback. He rode into the ground, and he's really riding with until the ship falls off with Blake. I mean, yeah. At this point right now, there isn't. And those clear cut. I mean, what was the stat? I forget where. I know where I heard it from. It was on Sports Den. So shout out to those guys at the Sports Den. But I think they said out of 2000, since 2000, there's been 45 quarterbacks drafted number one in the first, or not number one, excuse me, in the first round, and only nine or ten to my count were actually, you know, bona fide legit like quarterbacks. That's no, I don't want to. I don't want to continue that at all. I think right now we got so many holes on the offensive line, you know, so many holes that we can plug on offense in general. that would probably really be able to help this out. Quarterback would probably be the second biggest need, but the first biggest need, man, and you've seen what we've been able to do with an offensive line. Offensive line's intact. You get you a tight end, you know, to create those mismatches. You know, either go somewhere that way, trade back, you know, into the draft where with someone that's willing to move up to get their guy for a different need. And then, you know what? You just hope that you hope that you hit on a quarterback in the second or third round. That's where Caldwell's been really good. That's where a lot of his strength has been in the second and third round. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Right, but so you're saying, so you guys are saying that if any of these top guys like Haskins or Murray, Daniel Jones, we'll talk about in a minute because I know you got some thoughts on him, but if any of those guys are available, you're saying just let them go. Don't even look that way.
Just because history repeats. Huh. Just because of the history. History repeats itself. You can tell me to your blue in the face on how good, you know, Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray are, and I'm going to argue back with you. Number one, they've had one good season. That's it. Number one, one good season. They haven't had that much adversity. And then number two, in the NFL, you're getting guys who are better than you week in and week out. Better than you. Literally. Mm-hmm. Better football players than you that have more football IQ than you. You're going to be going up against your Luke Kuechly, your Cam Chancellors, your Bobby Wagners, the defensive players that know your offensive playbook better than you. And I don't want to risk having a one season wonder like a Dwayne Haskins or a Kyler Murray. Putting all of our chips up front in our quarterback position, which is arguably the most valuable position on our team, in the hands of or even drafting, you know, someone in the first round with that talent. And a lot of the talks are that we're going to sign a veteran quarterback in the offseason. If we sign a veteran quarterback in the offseason, your first round pick is someone who should be starting day one. I don't want another Taven Bryant that comes in and gets his first sack week 15. And you're our first round draft pick. Like your first round draft pick, no matter how good your team is. I mean, you could be stacked in a couple positions, but your first round draft pick should be getting more burn than week 15, week 13. You know what I mean? And if we get a quarterback in the offseason, if we get, you know, one of the veterans that we're being related or relayed to. Then what's the point of drafting a quarterback for him to sit? Like, are we in win now mode or repair mode? When you can get a second string quarterback and have him sit versus having a one string or a second round quarterback and having a first round talent be able to play immediately.
So you're saying basically get a quarterback in the later rounds and then probably get a veteran guy to play
right now, of course,
essentially.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it makes sense from the fact that when you're looking at the guys in this year's draft, you do have some serviceable guys. You know, Haskins apparently is the one that's been, you know, isolated as the number one candidate, and he's probably going to be off the board. You know, me personally, I'll never trust the Urban Meyer coach quarterback. I don't care how many touchdowns he's thrown for, just because they've never really fared well in the NFL, except for Alex Smith, who's been decent at best.
Does Cam Newton count?
No, Cam Newton doesn't count because Cam Newton had two years and a laptop to get that out of his system. You just, when you have multiple needs, you don't want to risk it all on the QB. And I'll tell you, and furthermore, to be quite honest with you, you know, Haskins is already on Instagram and Twitter following, you know, different types of players, you know, that his agent's going to be the same agent, I think, as like Jalen Ramsey and all them and Deshaun Watson. And, you know, he's already, you know, living up to, you know, not trying to live up to the hype, but trying to, you know, follow the hype and, you know, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I said last year, I thought Baker Mayfield was going to be a stud. And oh, by the way, Baker Mayfield stunk it up at the Senior Bowl last year.
Hmm.
And he's about to be the offensive rookie of the year. So none of that junk means a thing.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a good transition. Cause JK3, I know you had mentioned a little bit about Daniel Jones. I guess he's I don't know, reports or whatever out there on the internet or on Twitter or whatnot, is that he's not playing well, or I don't really know, but I guess it's something that you had said that you saw and kind of had some, I don't know, kind of had a rebuttal to that as far as how it's being perceived.
The thing about the Senior Bowl, man, is that you're being put into a position of uncertainty and a lot of change, you know, so you're around coaches that you've never really coached with or never played with before. You're around players that you never really played with before. I think the guys that really get the most out of the Senior Bowl are your interior linemen, your interior defensive linemen. Your receivers really get out there and show a lot of their speed. Your corners or DCs, whatever DC is now. Your corners are out there right now. You know, they're getting some of the play and they're getting some of the, you know, your hip speed and being able to flip. But I mean, it's still all pretty much subjective and judgmental because a lot of the times everyone's under uncertainty. And with the case with Daniel Jones, he's getting a lot of slack saying that he didn't look good, in the Senior Bowl. He didn't do this right. He didn't do that right. I mean, the guy has literally been, you know, and this goes for everyone else too. They've been in the system now for going on 3 or 4 days. You know, I want to show up to someone else's job and take their laptop and their computer and then bring it back to them and say, all right, go find all the files and everything else like that, you know, on a completely different system. If someone came and I use a Dell, if someone came with a MacBook to that with me, I'd shut it and be like, hey, I know where iTunes is. And that's about it. And I know how to get on Apple Music. That's it. I wouldn't be able to access anything. And I think that some of these guys are getting a lot of just complete slack on it. And if you've even watched Daniel Jones, I haven't watched Duke football. I don't think anyone in the nation has watched Duke football at all. So
Jefferson granted, Pilot Sports, man. Jefferson Pilot Sports, man. Channel 6.
If you're basing his performance off actual game tape and some of the stuff that he's done, cool. If you're basing off the Senior Bowl, not cool. But there's a reason why his name has gotten so much hype and so much, you know, clout over the last couple of weeks, is because some of the people that have actually gone back and looked at some of his game film see something there and see that he has some type of NFL pedigree. And the thing too that I'm trusting about Daniel Jones is that the people that his coaches at Duke that are around him have ties to Peyton Manning, who Peyton Manning owned the Jaguars and owned the NFL pretty much, you know, a majority of his career. I mean, he came back from a neck surgery and they said he wasn't going to be able to play ever again. He went to a Super Bowl one. So I'm going with someone that has who's cut from that cloth and that has been learning behind the scenes from a Peyton Manning. And who's coaching the Senior Bowl this year? Gruden. One of them? Okay, so it's the worst team in the AFC and the worst team in the NFC, right? So Gruden is coaching a team, and who is the worst team? Someone from the Cardinals coaching staff? I don't even know who's coaching it. But I mean, Gruden, he's respected as a quarterback whisperer and a quarterback guru, and I mean he's had praises to say about the guy. So I'm not going to listen to, you know, a couple of writers, you know, that and some of their opinion about it.
Yeah, the coach at Duke, David Cutcliffe, you know, guys, he coached at Tennessee, was the OC there. He was the head coach at Ole Miss, so that's where, you know, Eli and Peyton went. Is it, you know, could you be overlooking things? Sure, you know, he might not turn out to be anything. But when there's a proven track record, who are you going to go with? You know, again, it just goes to show that a lot of these guys, these football guys, you know, they kind of know what they're talking about. And I know a lot of the young media members or the fans of this generation, you know, they want to try to act like they know more than the guy, the people that actually eat, breathe, and live this game. No, you don't. Okay, let's just be real. No, you don't. No, we don't either. Okay, on this show. So, who are you going to go with? And again, we're not saying that Daniel Jones is all world. There's another couple of good guys on here. You got Drew Locke from Missouri. You got Will Greer, the ex-Gator QB. Ryan Finley from NC State looked, you know, decent in some games this year. There's some guys on the board that could end up being something. They could end up being nothing. We don't know.
But so only in the second round. Professionals.
Yeah, there's gonna be better talent. There's gonna be better talent in the first round. You know, with Dwayne Haskins, he's you know, throwing 50 touchdowns, played big time college ball. He's big and strong. He's got all the tools. You know, Kyler Murray's probably got the best arm out of all the QBs, but he's probably all the 5'9", 5'10", 185, 190 pounds. So do you draft a quarterback that can move a little bit and has a big arm? Do you draft a quarterback that's bigger? And I think all those things, all the physical tools mean nothing if you don't have it upstairs.
Yeah.
That's what we got to find. That's what we've been missing. We got to have it upstairs. Forget, oh, he can spin it real good and fluid motion and, oh, looks like he knows how to read cover two. No, we don't know if he can read cover two or not. We need to find somebody that has it upstairs, because the guy we've had for the last 5 years, we definitely know he doesn't have it upstairs.
Jeez. Yeah, Murray also needs to be a man of his word and play baseball too. Like, don't.
Oh, get over it, Ace fan.
Have some integrity. All right.
I just don't want. And I know it's hindsight, but it really, really upsets me whenever I'm watching like a draft and it's like, let's just say Russell Wilson, for example, right? Russell Wilson is on the board and we take a punter. Like, I just don't want that. Remember when that happened, when we took a punter before Russell Wilson in the third round? Like, I don't want that. That's happened third too round. Frequently yep. with this franchise. There's been too many examples of that. And maybe that comes down to scouting. Maybe that comes down to the GM also. But I really just want them to have that same draft they had a couple years ago, man, where they could not miss. And it put us in so many different, you know, valuable positions to build our defense. When you draft good players, they end up actually playing pretty good. You know, as crazy as that may sound, but when you draft like proven players, you know, and you take runs on people that have had constant productivity throughout their career in college, I think that sets a precedent for what they're going to do, which is why we're in the same, you know, predicament right now we are with 27 with Fournette. I mean, you look back at some of the stuff that he did in college, again, you know, that it showed that he wasn't really the most, you know, team and, you know, self-working or hard-working, you know, running back. You look at some of the things that we've done with Jalen, Miles Jack, Ngakoue, Telvin. Telvin we took a risk on, and he was still – I mean, he was a baller at Florida State, and I know that from, you know, all my friends that are, you know, Florida State fans and watching this guy for 4 years, legitimate baller. I mean, Miles Jack – he would have been a first round pick if he didn't tear his ACL. Constant productivity, you know what I mean? But like, that's got to be a key. You can't like just take a risk and take a run at somebody because they've had 14 really good games in a season. I think it's just crazy to me.
All right, and then we'll kind of jump more into the quarterback and all the draft discussion, obviously, throughout the next couple months. We have some time, obviously. Last thing, and then we'll wrap up, Pro Bowl. Calais Campbell, he is in, and he is getting, I guess, the Jaguars' treatment of immediately being disrespected by not having his name spelled correctly. I know the podcast notes had it as Cialis Campbell, which was unfortunate. JK3, because somehow JK3 showed him more disrespect in our notes.
Hey, between the way he spelled Calais and Safarian. Man, that sounded like some heart medication or something like that that he was trying to spell. I was like reading the notes. I'm like, what Cialis? Am I watching daytime TV right now?
Yeah. Make sure you get your prunes and your Metamucil in while you're at it.
Yeah, exactly.
But so yeah, NFL disrespected the mayor of Saxonville. The king of Duval, Jalen, he's down there too. So they got him. They got Calais straight. But it's really good to see. You know, at least two players from the Jags down there in Orlando. Such a far trip away, too.
Yeah, Orlando. What a joke. That's like not a vacation. I mean, Hawaii was so much better.
Well,
you speak from experience.
Disney paid a lot of money probably for having them go down there.
The only experience I speak from, I haven't been to Hawaii, but I have been to Orlando. So, and it sucks. Is what I'm saying.
I think we've all been to Orlando here. So. Yeah. But yeah, you know, good luck to those guys. Hopefully, they escape serious injury and get back. And you know, I'm sure Calais will probably run down to South Florida and
or I forget where he actually stays during the offseason. Jalen will be back and forth between here and Tennessee, probably. Who knows? But rest up, get ready for the season to start next year, and hopefully the coaching staff finds something to do on offense, because it's looking terrible. It's looking very terrible right now.
Before we go, do we have – I don't know if anything's going to happen with the Jags here in the next couple of weeks before the Super Bowl, but you guys want to do like too early Super Bowl prediction?
Oh, for this Super Bowl. Yeah, sorry. I thought you were talking about next year for some dumb reason.
What? No.
I don't know why I thought that. I just forget.
You're a glass half full kind of guy, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I would say that, because I keep seeing people talking about like it coming full circle and like the Patriots winning and then Brady beating the Rams again, like his first Super Bowl, and then retiring. And I like that storyline, so I'd kind of like to see that.
I'm going with the Rams. I know the Patriots haven't given up a sack all, you know, playoffs. I think that ends quickly. The Rams' defensive line is an extreme force to be reckoned with. And I'm going to go with the Rams. I'm going to say 29-26. Zerline kicks field goal at the end.
I'm not giving a score prediction, but I will say Rams only because they have an ex-Jaguar on the team. And usually when Jaguar players leave Jacksonville, they go get a ring. So destiny is with Dante. So there we go. So, yeah, I'm definitely taking the Rams for that.
I swear to God, if he gets, like, Super Bowl MVP or something. You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't that be awful? I mean, good for him, but that would be – I don't know. I just couldn't take that. Okay, all right. Well, we appreciate you guys listening. We will be back again next week, I'm sure, just to get a little bit more in-depth into the quarterbacks and whatever else is going on with the Jaguars. If you don't mind, if you're on Apple Podcasts, leaving us a 5-star review, we would certainly appreciate it. And again, Down by the Bank, sponsored by Brewers Pizza, Orange Park, and Clay County's only brew pub. Try it out. Really good pizza, really good beer, and we'll talk to you guys next time.